week we're going to continue to count the Omer at home. And you know, I know some of you have asked, why do we not count the Omer in the sanctuary during our time of service? It's, you know, traditionally counting the Omer is done in the evening. So we do it at home. We do it as part of our maybe dinner routine, praying over a meal, counting the Omer. Now, we don't do it in this, as part of the service here, but we do it during the encounter time of prayer. We get to hear the blessing, and we pray over what the subject is based on that schedule that we have for everybody to go over. So we do pray for that in unity during the Tuesday evenings. And hopefully you're doing it every evening at home. Now this morning, we'll continue our look at Deuteronomy 30 and what we see within the chapter that's relatable to Shavuot and the water immersion that we do alongside of it, and what we will celebrate at our Miknik, where some will go through the water and some will be there to celebrate with them. We hope all of you will be there in one capacity or another. Now, looking back that first week, I looked at the free will that you have when you choose, not just regarding the emerging service that's coming up, but actually all of our lives and all of the decisions that we need to make, including the acceptance of Messiah Yeshua's blood that pays the price for our sins. In fact, I connected the free will decision making that you do with the faith that you have and the faith that you show the world. The second week I spoke about Adonai being our shield of Abraham. But even more than that, he's the reason for our rejoicing, his words, his love for us. And not only do we rejoice over him, he rejoices over us as well when we make those right decisions. And this week, we'll continue on with our traveling through Deuteronomy 30 to see what else we can pull out of the chapter regarding Shavuot. So we're going to start with reading our piece from today, a piece for today, Deuteronomy 30, 11 through 14. Excuse me as I pop a drop as my throat just doesn't want to be there today. All right, so Deuteronomy 30, starting in 11. For this is the mitzvah that I am commanding you today. For this mitzvah that I am commanding you today is not too difficult for you, nor is it too far off. It is not in the heavens that you should say, who will go up to the heavens and get it for us and have us hear it so we may do it? Nor is it across the sea that you should say, who will cross over for us to the other side of the sea and get it for us and have us hear it so we may do it? No, the word is very near to you, in your mouth and in your heart, to do it. Within these four verses that I just read, we get a truth that we must hold on to. Adonai did not make his word for us, which is the Torah, to be difficult for us. Nor is it too far away from us that we should ever have an excuse for our sins that we didn't understand it or we never heard it. We don't know what Adonai expects from us. No, we do. He's given us his word and he's made it easy for us. He's made it so the word is near in our mouth so that we may speak it to others, but also in our hearts that we may take it and make it a part of ourselves. This is so that you do not think that it's only for some people, but it's for everyone. You know, Jewish people today are of the mindset that the word of Adonai is so hard to understand, they need the rabbi to interpret it for them. And the rabbis need the sages and their commentaries in order to understand it. But Adonai did not mean for his word to be that difficult to understand. His intention with the word given to us in Scripture is not that we need to have a doctorate to understand them. He wants to make himself clear to us, to each one of us. After all, he didn't need an intermediary when it came to Adam and Eve. They understood what they were told. Now, they sinned not because they didn't understand it. They sinned because they didn't go back to the word that they were told directly from Adonai. In other words, when they heard the word from Satan, that serpent, what they should have done was compared it to the word of Adonai. They didn't use the word that the Lord gave them as it was intended to be used, to verify the truth and to shed light on lies. When Satan said, "Surely God did not say," he was twisting the words of Adonai to confuse Eve and then Adam. But Adonai does not want us to be confused by his words. He said that the mitzvot that I am commanding you is not too difficult. As creator, he would know what's too hard for us to understand and what we should be able to grasp. And the instructions are not to be hard, but to be easy for us. Remember what Yeshua's words in Matthew 11 said. Matthew 11, starting in verse 28, "Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take on my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." He says his yoke is easy, or the instructions to follow are not too hard, and that his burden is light, meaning that they're not the words that take great effort to understand or to follow. In fact, Yeshua tells us how the laws became a burden to people. In Luke 11:46, it says this, "Then Yeshua said, 'Woe to you Torah lawyers as well, for you weigh the people down with burdens hard to carry. Yet you yourselves will not touch the burdens with even a finger.'" Yeshua says that it's not the instructions that Adonai gave that's a burden, but the things that the Torah lawyers and the rabbis placed upon, on top of the Torah, that caused it to become heavy and burdensome. His instructions were never meant to be a burden, but a joy, right? I say that every time we bring out the scroll. This is the joy. When we say the Eschaim He, when putting the scroll away, we say in part Proverbs 3. So let's read Proverbs 3:17. "Her ways are pleasant ways, and all of her paths are shalom. She is a tree of life to those who embrace it, and blessed will be all who hold firmly to her." So we say it as the Torah is a tree of life to those who take hold of it, and all its ways are pleasantness, and all its paths are peace. I don't think we lie each week we say that. It's the truth. And I know that Adonai is not lying when he instructs in his wonderful ways of the Torah, and that they are not, what some would say, a burden to us. The burden comes not from him and not his instructions, but from men who think that, you know, a little caution is good. So if we add a whole lot of caution on top of it, that's going to have to be great, right? No, that's an additional burden that Adonai did not mean to have. We don't need that abundance of works on top of his word, but only to keep it the way that he meant it to be kept, as a joy and a source of shalom in our lives. This is why we read in 1 John 5 this. 1 John 5, starting in verse 2. We know that we love God's children by this, when we love God and obey his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. Can he say it any clearer than that? The Greek word for burdensome means heavy or oppressive. If we were to think of the Torah as a burden, then it's really not a commentary on the weight of the word, but the truth of the word, and the word giver is what we're judging. Calling the Torah a burden is then also calling Adonai a liar. God forbid. It is not a heavy burden to keep. Not just because we can keep it, but because we are told by an unfailing word that comes from God that it is good. The word is true, and the one who gave us the word is always true. Now, going back to Deuteronomy 30, verse 14, it says the word is very near to you, in your mouth and in your heart, to do it. His word was placed into our hearts and our mouths for a reason. One of the places in Scripture that we see the reason is Ezekiel 11. So we read Ezekiel 11, 16. Therefore say, thus says Adonai Elohim, though I removed them far away among the nations, though I scattered them among the countries, yet for a little while I was a sanctuary for them in the countries that they have gone. From the start of man, with the creation of Adam and Eve, and even before that, Adonai knew what was going to happen. There would be times, and not just a single time, when they would be separated from the land because of their sin, from Jerusalem, where the temple was to be and his name was to dwell, or is to, I should say, because it still does. And he did not intend for the people to be left alone, even in their exile. He placed the Torah within them, in their mouths and in their hearts, so that he would be with them, regardless where they went on their own or where Adonai exiled them off to. He would be there with them by his ruach and by his word, by his spirit and by his Torah, which we keep in our mouths and in our hearts. Regardless what you're going through in the physical, when you have the word of Adonai with you in your mouth and heart, he's there with you. And even though they're physically hard times, doesn't mean he's absent. There are times that just flat out look hard. But when you have Adonai on your side, you know, how hard is it really? I know things seem to be very difficult at times. I know people struggle financially, physically, emotionally. We have to keep Adonai within. Remember what we read, well, what we read in Matthew 7 about a gate? Matthew 7:13 says, "Enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction. And those who enter through it are many. How narrow is the gate and difficult the way that leads to life, and those who find it are few." The way of the narrow gate is said to be difficult in comparison to the wide gate. But for the one who knows the gate, the narrow way, that narrow way is not going to be very difficult. It gets easier. In fact, there's great joy when you travel down the path of the narrow way. You know, that wide path looks easy. It looks like it should be a lot of fun. Lots of people are going down it. Big time party. What they don't see is the trouble and the death and the destruction that it leads to. This is why Yeshua also said this in John 10. John 10, 7, starting there. So Yeshua said again, "Amen, amen, I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All those who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. If anyone comes in through me, he will be saved. He will come and go and find pastures." The narrow gate, which of course is Yeshua, is difficult, we're told. But we're also told at the same time, that same gate is also the way to find the easier way to walk. The pasture that he has for you. The narrow gate may be hard to find, but once you do, the way is easy then. This is when you find the pastures for all eternity. The gate is not the hard part. It's finding the gate and making the choice, the free will choice, to walk through the gate. That's the challenge. The hardest part is based on how long you choose to do it. Let me back up for a moment. Once you make that choice, then you may still experience hard physical times. But the eternal future that you have is much easier when you don't quit running the race. Now, I'm not a runner. I can run from that side of the stage to that side of the stage with only getting winded a little. But I know how to run. It's putting one foot in front of the other. It's a lot like walking, only faster. You know, I can do that. But the running isn't what's hard. It's how long you run. That's the hard part. You don't get tired running a single step. You get tired of step after step after step after step after step. Think about what we read in Matthew 11. Matthew 11, starting in verse 25. At that time, Yeshua said in response, "I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and discerning and revealed them to infants. Yes, Father, for this way was pleasing to you." The thing about infants is they keep it simple. They don't do complicated things. I long for the days I can just sit there and lay around and be fed. I might be a little uncomfortable when someone tries to change my diaper, but I'll get used to it. Babies keep it simple. Adonai wants us to keep his word simple as well. The word of Adonai is meant to be kept simple and easy. It is easy unless you try to make too much of it. It is the intellect, the Torah teachers, and the scholars who try to complicate things. And you know what? They're normally successful at complicating when they want to. We are called to keep things simple and easy when it comes to our faith in Him. Now, I may be overly simplifying things to make a point, but when it comes to faith, we just need to have faith in Him. Simple. Look what we're told in Hebrews 3, when the writer of Hebrews was talking about those who rebelled against Adonai in the wilderness. Hebrews 3, starting in verse 16. Now, which ones heard and rebelled? Indeed, was it not all who came out of Egypt with Moses? And with whom was he provoked for 40 years? Was it not those who sinned, whose body fell in the wilderness? And to whom did he swear that they would not enter his rest? Was it not those who were disobedient? So we see that they were not able to enter in because of a lack of trust, a lack of faith. The reality is that faith should be easy. Trust in Him and lean not on your own understanding. As the people came out of Egypt and they were about to go into the promised land, they just needed to have faith in Adonai. But they did not, and they rebelled. They did not see with their eyes of faith, nor believe in what Adonai could do. So they rebelled. It just came down to a lack of faith. And in today's world, as we see as a whole, meaning all of humanity, it has the same issues with faith. For so many, if they can't see it with their own physical eyes or touch it with their own hands, then they don't believe it. And I was going to put it in, but remember Doubting Thomas. Look, here's the hole. Touch it. But Adonai gave us something to hold on to. Remember what we read in Deuteronomy 30:14? Deuteronomy 30:14 said this: "No, the word is very near you, in your mouth and in your heart, to do it." This is why the word is close, so that we do not have to complicate it and can trust in it. We have the word in our mouth and heart so that we can have a measure of faith in Him until that time that we're in eternity and can see with what will then be our own eyes that truly He is Lord of Lords and King of Kings. But for now, He puts His words in our mouth and in our heart to be a witness for us so that we can hold on with faith. Listen to what Adonai said through the prophet Isaiah. Isaiah 59, starting in verse 21. Actually, just 21. "As for me, this is my covenant with them, says Adonai. My Ruach, who is on you," and I love that he says, who. The Ruach is a who, not a what. My Ruach who is on you, and my words that I have put in your mouth, shall not depart from your mouth, or from your mouth from your of your offspring, or from the mouth of your children's offspring, says Adonai. For now on and forever, if you have my words in your mouth, he says, and in the mouth of each generation going forward, you'll have faith. And the faith for each generation will live on. And from that faith, I will bring my salvation. That's what Adonai is saying. As long as his Torah is in your heart and mouth, you will have faith. And this faith will keep you going in Adonai, even when things in the physical are really hard. Remember what Adonai told Joshua, and eventually to the rest of the people as they were about to enter into the promised land. Joshua 1:8. The book of the Torah should not depart from your mouth. You are to meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. For then you will make your ways prosperous, and you will be successful. Different people have different measures of what it means to be prosperous and successful. And most of them don't line up with the word of Adonai and his idea of what prosperous and successful looks like. Want to see what Adonai's idea of what prosperous and successful looks like? Let's see it in Romans 10, where Shaul, the Apostle Paul, is talking about the righteousness of men in their faith. Romans 10, starting in verse 8. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. Sounds familiar, right? Paul writes a lot by quoting things he's heard before. The Tanakh. The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith that we are proclaiming. For if you confess with your mouth that Yeshua is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. I believe that when the words of the Torah are in your heart and mouth, that your faith will shine forth. It can't help. And when it does, you will be raised from the dead, and you will have the salvation of Adonai. And that is what success looks like to Adonai on anyone that he's created, and he created everyone. So I'll finish off today's message with the same question that I've asked over the last couple of weeks. What does this have to do with Shavuot? The final verse from today's passage in Deuteronomy said, the word is very near to you, in your mouth and in your heart, to do it. His instructions for us are to do them. We have a free will to make a choice that will hopefully cause him to rejoice over us. The words, the Torah that he gave us, ring out from Genesis to Revelation. And we are to bring him joy and show our faith by doing what we see in his words. When we choose to be immersed in the water, not to be cleansed of dirt, but are publicly proclaiming the love that we have for him, then we'll see, then we'll feel, then we'll know the love of Adonai. This is what we do during a mikvah. We show our love. We show our faith. We publicly proclaim once again that he is Lord. It doesn't mean it's the first time you've done it. It doesn't mean it's the 10th time you've done it. It doesn't mean it's 100th time that you've done it. But what's the right number of times you should proclaim Adonai is Lord and Yeshua as your Savior? It sort of goes with the same, how many times should I forgive? Seven times? Seven times 70? 70 times 70? How many times should I proclaim Adonai as my Lord? Seven times? Seven times 70? 70 times 70? That's what a mikveh is about, proclaiming your faith. Sometimes it's done when you're going into a new life situation. Change of jobs, change of living situation. Maybe just because you've made a definitive choice of something. Those are the times to go through the mikveh. I've made a choice, a free will choice. Some of you will just go to the mikveh to witness those who have made the choice and to celebrate with them. That's a great thing. Celebrating with your people that He is Adonai. He is Lord. He is your God. He is your Savior. Amen. Father, we thank you and praise you that you are our Savior. And you've given us the free will to make the choice. And you've given us your word that guides our feet on the path that you have for us. Adonai, we just ask that you would show yourself in these next couple of weeks by your Ruach to each of us as we make the choice. Are we going to be immersed ourselves, or are we going to celebrate with others? And hey, you can do both. Father, we just thank you that you give us opportunity, not just seven times, not just seven times, 70 times, to proclaim you as King of Kings, Lord of Lords, God over our life, Savior through Messiah Yeshua, whose blood cleanses us and pays for our sin. We just thank you and praise you. And everyone said, amen and amen.